It is Friday, June 10th, 2005, 10:06 a.m. on the central coast of California. Today, we are speaking about the shuttle, the company Shuttle, makers of small form factor computers, very small computers. And of course, it's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. My name's Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. Today on our program, after a spot of geek news, we're speaking with Cameron Rogers of Shuttle Computers. We'll be talking about small computers with big performance. During the second half of the show, I'll welcome you to join our conversation. The numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877, or you can go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. I'll give out that contact information again when I invite your participation in about half an hour. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks: Sean Cleveland, Senior PR Marketing Manager for NetCell, and Miles Elam, Technical Trainer at Surf Control. Welcome, geeks, to Geek Speak.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lyle.
Before we get into our discussion about shuttle computers, which are small computers, let's do some geek news. I'm going to start with Miles. Mr. Purple Shirt, what's up?
There is a bill coming up in the House of Representatives to fix the what many consider to be a broken patent system. Yeah, we've spoken about software patents, for example, on Geek Speak before. Things like Amazon's one-click patent, the idea that you can patent making online purchases simpler. And Representative Lamar Smith, who heads the House of Representatives committee responsible for drafting patent law, is putting forth a bill for consideration that would make it easier for people to challenge patents. Basically, opposition requests can be filed up to 9 months after a patent is awarded or 6 months after a legal notice alleging infringement is sent out.
Okay.
And this is not just, open source software advocates that are backing this. This is also companies like Microsoft and Oracle who have been constantly calling for patent reform.
How do you think this will help the software industry?
What it will do is reduce the amount of legal wrangling that goes on. Basically, you have a bunch of companies that will file a patent, a fairly obvious one in many cases, but have no intentions of actually making the thing that they have patented, which means that everyone else has this legal minefield they have to go to just to make anything. It makes it reduces innovation by simply saying we're not doing something to make the world better or to enhance the quality of life. All we're doing is trying to get any single idea that we can get out there.
Oh, cool. Well, I like the idea of acting upon a patent that's made. And that is the idea, of course, of patent. So thank you very much, Miles, for that update. Mr. Cleveland, Sean, what's up?
Well, we all know the big news this week. Microsoft MSN Search Toolbar added tabbed browsing to Internet Explorer.
What?
I couldn't resist throwing that out there. Yeah, Internet Explorer has tabbed browsing now through a toolbar. This is a great quote. Where is it? Product manager Justin Osmer said the rollout is significant because it's the first time that tabbed browsing has been offered in a toolbar setting. I guess it's more powerful that way. I don't know. So the big news this week is actually Apple.
Apple going to Intel.
Apple is going to start using Intel Pentium processors.
Starting next year. In fact, there's already Macintosh computers in people's hands that have Intel processors.
Actually, they said Intel processors. Have they ever actually mentioned the word Pentium, or is it going
to... They did.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Well, the $999 developer transition kit that they're offering is uses a 3.6 gigahertz Pentium 4 processor. Since Intel's been using the Pentium brand for, I don't know how many years, 10, 12, I don't think they're going to go back and change, you know, move it to something else. Actually,
there's talk that the Itanium.
There's speculation that the reason Apple moved to Intel is because of the Pentium D chip, which has not been announced, but it's supposed to add encryptable features and digital rights management.
We've been talking that they can take
iPod to movies.
Right. There's been a lot of discussion on this show about the idea, there'll be soon a Macintosh laptop that will be a G5. There'll be soon. And basically, the keynote address that announced this, it was pretty clear. Steve Jobs was like, yeah, we're doing this because we can't make a G5 laptop. It's not possible. It's too much heat distribution. We need to go with a better processor. So we're going to Intel. So that was a major reason why they went.
That's a big reason, too. And
The digital rights management issue, I think, is a red herring, because the PowerPC chips that are made by IBM have hooks for DRM as well.
Yeah, but it's nowhere near what Intel is doing. They're working with, and we should get somebody on to talk about this, but they're working with the movie studios, and that the whole goal is to allow people to move movies and that kind of content in their own network between computers that have this hardware support. And then... And I know that Steve Jobs has Pixar in his back pocket, so that's one major studio on board already. And then Sony
is
really
the CEO,
so
his back pocket.
So I don't know. There's speculation. If you do some searching about Pentium D and Apple on Google,
I mean, the thing I want to know, can I install OS X on an Intel machine?
There's a lot of questions like that.
Not a standard computer. It's still going to be locked down Apple hardware, so it would only work with a Macintosh computer.
Someone's got to crack that.
Then the other thing is Apple has also announced they're going to use transitive technologies so that old Macintosh software programs can run on Intel-based computers. So don't give up your old software just because you get the new hardware.
That's
supposedly
right.
This emulation runs in full speed.
I saw it run Photoshop CS2.
You did?
Yeah. It works. Photoshop CS2 will run, even though it's compiled for the PowerPC chip, it'll run in this Intel chip using emulation. And it seemed to load as slow as it always does. I didn't see any filters or anything. No, I did see a couple filters done. In any case, if you're interested more about that, one source is viewing the keynote address, which is available on Apple Trailer. So you can see the keynote address of Steve Jobs that was released. That's made the announcement, though it hit the papers before that. It's a big deal because it means that a lot more computers will be built using Intel. I'm surprised they didn't go with AMD, but I guess there was a reason to go with Intel. All right, well, thank you very much, Sean, for that Macintosh story, that Apple story. Amazing. Sean said Apple story.
I'm a hardware guy.
Yeah,
they finally realized what the superior hardware is.
wait, you work for... Well, okay, that works. You used to work for AMD and then Transmeta. Those are two processing companies, competitors with Intel.
Yeah, but at least Apple's moving in the right direction now.
Great. All right. Miles, your story, sir.
This is a complete break off from what we've been talking about so far, but Israeli inventor Alon Bodner has developed what equivalent of a scuba tank that doesn't require an oxygen tank. It actually will process the dissolved oxygen in water.
Okay, that's cool.
For breathing, yes. It's only...
Will it do it fast enough, though?
It's only done breathe real slow.
It's like breathing through a straw.
And it requires a relatively large battery right now. As battery technology gets better, it will work better. But
like a Prius battery pack?
No, 17
batteries?
Requires a chunk of plutonium?
It was saying that a 1 kilogram lithium battery, or lithium-ion battery, could provide the diver with about 1 hour of diving time.
Well, that's weird. So now instead of charging you just have to recharge your battery.
Right.
That is great. Because air tanks are a pain. And they're big and bulky and stuff.
Because you're pressurizing the tank, you have all those safety issues.
The thing that scares me is when you're dealing with diving, you're really concerned about the amount of nitrous that gets into your system. And so you're supposed to do a whole bunch of dive calculations about what depth you're going at, how long you're staying under, therefore how much is building up your system, how much you weigh, and therefore how safe it is, all that kind of calculation stuff. But a good rule of thumb is you get a tank of air, and you use that tank of air, you're pretty much okay. If you use more than that, then you have to start doing calculations. So a simple way to do it is, use one tank a day, and you're fine. But this totally rules that out. People will be strapping on batteries from their cell phones.
How long
have
I been down here anyway? 6 hours.
6 hours. Oh, no, I can't go back up.
Battery technology has to get better for that, but yeah.
All right. Sean, one more story. We got to get on the shuttle.
Seagate announced the first hard drive with perpendicular recording technology. Actually, they announced three hard drives.
What does that
so
mean?
Instead of laying the data down horizontally or down, well, basically what it means is the data is recorded kind of in smaller areas.
You don't know. You're just making it up as you go along.
No, it's very technical technology.
Very cool. There's a wonderful article on this on Spectrum magazine.
Basically, they it aligns data vertically to increase storage density.
Right.
That's the best way to describe
it. Normally, what happens on a hard drive is you have your magnetic field, if you will, your north and south, laying on top of the platter. Okay,
right.
So that north and south has to take a certain amount of space, and the next one you put on there has to be a little spaced apart because you don't want them to interact with each other. This is basically flipping that up and down,
right?
And that way they don't interact with each other so much.
So the it's the Momentus series. They're going to have 160 gigabyte notebook hard drives based on this technology. Now it's available. Now they're announcing it.
Woohoo! You're listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. The geeks this morning are Sean in Cleveland, Miles Elam. Cameron Rogers is the director of marketing for Shuttle Computer. Shuttle Computer Group is the maker, the premier maker of the small form factor Intel or AMD-based computers. Basically, very small. They look kind of a little bit, well, Cameron, is it bigger or smaller than a bread box?
I have to say it's a large shoebox.
That's good. Good. Whatever size a bread box is, really. You know what I'm talking about? Cameron Rogers, welcome to Geek Speak.
Oh, thanks very much.
All right, so Cameron, Toronto-based company, is that right?
Toronto? No,
that's ATI.
I'm mixing up my stuff. Where are you from?
We're based out of Taiwan, and Shuttle US is based out of LA here, where I'm calling from.
All right. Tell me, what's so exciting about Shuttle Computers?
The big excitement really has been, for the first time, someone has created a small, high-performance PC. There's been tons of small PCs out there. You've had iMacs, nowadays you have the Mac Mini. But the difference with Shuttle's XPC is that it's high performance and it's small. So we target all the same features that the normal desktops do. You know, now everybody's talking about dual core and SLI and RAID, and we certainly will support all those features in chassis, you know, a fit the size of a typical tower PC.
And, yeah, it really is really quite small. I mean, I've seen the most work I've seen of these is for gaming enthusiasts. So we're talking about the highest performance machine because gamers have to have that really crazy speed for the games that are out there and a really good graphics card and everything. So I see a lot of people doing that, taking a Shuttle and building out as a game machine. Is that kind of your focus in your market, or are you a little broader than that?
Yeah, we took a little bit different tack coming to market with a new idea. What we realized is that the people who are going to adopt a new idea in a PC are not your typical grandma and grandpa type of buyer. It's going to be your early adopters. And right now, early adopters are... You know them very well. You guys are. We all are here. And all your listeners as well, probably, are people who like to play games. They like to tweak their hardware. They want to get the best performance out of their PC. So what we realized that meant in terms of a small form factor PC is that it's got to be easy to assemble. It's got to be able to take really high performance components. It's got to have great chipsets or the latest technology down on the motherboard. We've got to offer a lot of options for people. So we figured to target the high end first. And yeah, gamers or content creators or even scientists, video editors. There's quite a broad range of high-end people who are using XPC. And now there's some mainstream people trying to pick it up as well.
You've got a lot of static. I'm wondering if you can speak a little louder. I think that might help. I want to say that Didi, our New York correspondent geek, built a Shuttle system a while ago, and she used it for her primary machine, but I think that she didn't have a handle on the top of it. And I see that there's like add-on components, basically people get make handles for them. Are you now building in handles to Shuttles, or is that not something you're doing?
No, we're not building in handles. It's been a tough call for our aesthetic team, our ID design team, because for them, the handles are really not something they want to see because it really distracts from the lines of the product, and also we like them stackable. But we make tons of bags and also carrying backpacks for the units because we figure if you're going to be carrying around a box with all your latest technology in there, you've got a $500 or $1,000 processor, you've got a $500 graphics card, you don't want to drop that thing. So definitely bags and backpacks are a good way to go. Plus, you can throw your keyboard in there. You can throw your cables in there. We've even got bags for our portable monitors, the XP17 monitor.
Sean, you invited Shuttle to be on. What excites you about Shuttle?
Well, like we said, it's taken computers to a new area, small form factor. The fact that you can put a computer in your living room and it disappears into it instead of standing out like a beige box, you know, these medium and full tower computers that you see at stores. I think computers are now starting to get interesting cases, but Shuttle has designed it so that it literally is in the size of a shoebox. And they haven't compromised the hardware inside. And that's what's amazing. You guys, it's not easy to cool, you know, a leading Pentium 4 processor. But you guys have figured out how to do that. And that's kind of what I want to talk about, some of the innovative technologies inside the box.
Yeah, how are you cooling the processor?
Well, we developed a technology called ICE, Shuttle ICE, and that's standing for Integrated Cooling Engine. And what it is, it's kind of a heat pipe-based system that removes the need for a processor fan and integrates the radiator into the back of the chassis that cools both the chassis and the processor itself. So it reduces the number of fans, which is great for noise.
Yeah.
And also it allows the processor to run cooler because it's not circulating air inside the case and making the ambient temperature of the case higher, but it's actually directly exhausting that case, that air right out the chassis. The ICE technology really was important to allow us to run, like Sean said, the latest and hottest Pentium 4 processors.
We're inviting Dee Dee on now, also calling in from New York. Dee Dee, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hello?
Hi, welcome.
Hey.
Hey. So, Dee Dee, got any questions? You built out a Shuttle. Is your Shuttle doing pretty well now? Are you still liking it?
Oh, I love my Shuttle. In fact, I was just at E3 looking at how all the beautiful the games looked there and wondering how I could fix it up a little bit.
Well, you finding a new graphics card. When did you build out your Shuttle, Dee Dee?
Oh, it was before I left for New York, so
two, three years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's got horrible feedback. Let's try that one more time. Ooh. Okay, I'm going to try hanging up on Dee Dee because that's just nicer than hanging up on our guest. Sorry, Dee Dee. Cameron, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, what
a shame. Well, we'll talk about what does a Shuttle look like 3 years ago compared to what one looks like now?
It looks relatively the same, although, of course, the features have improved a lot in the last few years, just like any PC. There are different designs available, but for example, Dee Dee talked about upgrading his graphics. We just announced at Computex a few days ago, we announced the world's first SLI, small form factor PC, and we demoed it with two NVIDIA 6800 GTs in there. So,
you actually got dual video cards in one of your boxes.
Yeah, that's right. We developed a special version of our ice cooling technology just for graphics cards.
Wait, are they AGP slots?
Oh, these are PCI Express. Yeah.
PCI Express. Okay. So is one the full 16 wide and one?
No, they're both full 16. It's called SLI.
Yeah.
It's NVIDIA based technology that allows you to run two video cards at the same time and get double the performance.
Okay. Are you actually just using one monitor still?
Yeah, you can use one monitor, although I believe it supports multiple displays as well.
More
DVIs out.
Okay. But, I mean, Sean, I've heard of the technology where you take multiple graphics cards, you put in the same computer, you use one monitor, and both the cards help render the scenes. That scene is really beautiful. Is that what we're talking about here?
What's happening, yeah.
Okay. But you can also spit out multiple images if you want, multiple screens.
Yeah, but it's meant for a single monitor.
Really beautiful monitor.
To really increase your video power when playing games.
I've been looking more and more at these large form factor LCD screens, which is really beautiful, very bright, really good contrast, and less about the computer design. It used to be for me, I got a really pretty case that was made by the geeks for me for a birthday, and it lights up, it's all green, it's really pretty anodized aluminum, and when it comes down to it, what you really look at all the time is the monitor and the keyboard and the mouse. That's the stuff you touch and you look at. And, of course, sound. So it's I'm more in this era now of I want the computer to be able to be moved easily, and I want it to be small, and I want it to be quiet. So how do you – I know that moving, you got backpacks, it's small already. How do you deal with noise? How loud are your – is it your major focus is noise or –
That's one of our biggest challenges because whenever you're taking typical high-end desktop components and putting them in a small chassis, your biggest enemy is going to be heat and noise. So that ICE technology is really important to not only get the heat level down but also reduce the amount of noise the box makes.
Speaking of,
we have models that vary. It really depends on the configuration. If you load it out with top-of-the-line components, of course, it's going to be more heat.
Right, especially if you've got two.
You can't even hear at all.
Especially if you have two graphics cards. I mean, we're talking a lot of airflow and therefore a lot of noise. We're inviting Dee Dee back in now so she can join our conversation. Hopefully we won't get the horrible noise again.
Hey.
Hey, Dee Dee. So what do you have in your shuttle currently, Dee Dee?
For a graphics card. Aslan 1700 Plus. It's really ancient, but I got it for free a while, like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running the stock video card, which is probably why the graphics were looking so much better on the stuff they had set up at E3.
Mm-hmm. So you're using the onboard graphics card, is what you're saying?
Right.
So it means you probably have an open AGP slot on that board.
I don't have the money right now to fill it.
Yeah. Well, we know how that is, of course.
Well, what's nice about these shuttle boxes is you know, you would get a small integrated unit before and you couldn't upgrade it. But these shuttle boxes are very upgradable.
Well, that's one of the things I want to kind of address. Cameron, you know, so Dee Dee at this point could actually buy a graphics card and update that. A lot of small form factor computers that you see, they do things that aren't really standard components. You know, they do some strange things. Macintosh, for example, has these little tiny computers, but you can't really open it up and do anything. Maybe upgrade RAM, maybe replace a hard drive. That's about it.
Right.
So your shuttles, I mean, you could put a new processor in it. You could get new cooling in it.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point. You could certainly upgrade the entire chassis. We even offer upgraded power supplies. We just introduced a 300-watt power supply for our older models, even Dee Dee's model. So he can upgrade to a new power supply. He can. There's lots of accessories like Wi-Fi kits, card readers, carrying bags that he can upgrade. And of course, he can take any desktop component off the shelf, like an AGP card, hard drive, processor, and then upgrade his unit as well.
So, Dee Dee, when you get money, are you going to upgrade?
When I get the money, it's either an LCD screen, more RAM, or a video card. I'd probably flip a three-sided coin.
Well, on the subject of LCD screens, we also introduced a 20-inch widescreen LCD a few days ago at Computex.
How much did it cost?
Not finalized yet.
Okay, I'm not supposed to ask that anyway. This is a public radio show.
I have a question for our guest. Myself being a Linux geek, you know, I'm looking at one of your products here where it has a front panel interface. It shows like whether it's in play or stop mode or repeat and things like that. And one thing that I found with the compact boxes is that I look at compatibility with Linux, for example, for me to do a homebrew system, and the specs aren't necessarily out there. Is that the case with the shuttle boxes too, or?
What do you mean the specs aren't out there, Miles?
To be able to interface with the LCDs, to be able to put in, you know, custom information into the front display, like, for example, allow for text.
Okay, so you're not talking about, like, large LCDs. You're talking about the little crystal display on the front of the chassis.
Or for the components, for that matter, in many of the smaller boxes.
So what's going on with your Linux support?
Well, actually, we do support Linux on some of our models. We've actually shipped Mandrake Linux with a few of our units with Intel chipsets.
Oh, great.
For that particular model, we don't support Linux yet because you're right, it does require custom programming to be able to get that what's called a VFD display to run under Linux. But we do plan to in the future. I think it would be a good idea to open an API for people to be able to address that display themselves.
Yeah, because for the general public, you know, it's who wants to go in and start tweaking with it? But then the Linux grad isn't necessarily the general public. It's kind of the, oh, I want to, you know, play around with this and see how it works and see what I can come up with. And
I'm building.
Those are the magic words, API.
I build machines all the time. It's kind of something, you know, geeks do. And my home machine right now has only got a 300 gig hard drive, and it makes me really nervous only having a non-redundant large hard drive in there. So how are you dealing with the issue of drives fail?
Well, actually, we support quite a few hard drives. We have a chassis called the P chassis, and that's the one we just introduced with SLI, and we have a couple different models as well. You can get it Intel or AMD, and that one supports three hard drives as well as RAID.
Okay, and how are you doing your RAID?
One, RAID 0.
Are you doing your RAID on board, on your motherboard?
Yeah, it's an onboard RAID, so either through the, you know, NVIDIA chipset if it's an AMD model, or through the Intel chipset if it's an Intel model.
And is that serial ATA?
That's correct, yeah.
All right.
We're serial ATA up to 4 ports.
And how does that affect airflow? Like,
yeah, I was thinking about that,
like,
too.
Build up heat in that scenario.
Well, the P chassis was really designed to support multiple hard drives. It has different cooling zones. It has a dedicated two dedicated fans for the upper hard drive cooling zones. When you want to install hard drives in the P chassis, it's really cool because you just flip these rails on the hard drives and you slide them in, They're completely toolless, and they're going to a dedicated bay where they're separated from the graphics card, the processor.
So the P chassis
really reduces the heat inside.
Is there airflow between the hard drives?
Yeah, there is. There's two fans in the back, and the optical drive is between them and the processor. And the processor is actually has its own duct, basically its own chassis inside of a chassis, so that none of the air, none of the exhaust air from the processor ever reaches the rest of the chassis. It goes right out the side.
Nice.
So the ambient temperature of our chassis are much lower than your typical box because a lot of the hot components are separated from sensitive components like hard drives.
I'm browsing your website right now. Are the P chassis the ones with the model number that ends with a P?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're talking with Kyman Rogers. He is a marketing director, I believe.
That's right.
All right, for Shuttle Computers. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. And coincidentally enough, Santa Cruz Electronics does have Shuttle Computers in stock if you want to take a look at them. We are continuing our conversation in just a moment about Shuttle Computers. We're going to open up the phone lines to anything you might have. You're listening to Geek Speak. The phone number is 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Kuba Jazz presents a free-to-the-public master's jazz education series. The upcoming workshop on Wednesday, June 15th is presented by Keyfax New Media entitled Computer Music is Still Music. Basically, the program is about learning how to edit music or make music on your computer, and it's free to the public. Kuba Jazz Center is down. Oh, I don't have the address on me. It's downtown Santa Cruz. And it's open to the public. Go ahead and do a Google on Kuba, K-U-U-M-B-W-A, if you'd like to learn about that. We are speaking about Shuttle Computers on GeekSpeak today, and we'll be back with that subject in just a moment.
This Week in This American Life.
Get on with it!
We spent an hour with some of the private contractors, civilians, working in Iraq, who are doing some of the things that the U.S. military used to do. Though the two groups do not always get along. Like, for example, when a civilian has to order a soldier to leave a restricted area.
I ask you politely.
Yeah.
You got an attitude.
I got civilians that have been here a couple of months.
I've been here since freaking July, pal.
Oh, whoop-dee-doo.
How long?
That's this week.
I was under your bed scared. I was a
I'm not scared of anything you got.
Catch This American Life Sunday at 10 a.m. on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP.
You're listening to KUSP. This is Geek Speak. We're talking about Shuttle Computers. This program is supported by a grant from Cruise.io, providing internet services, including DSL, spam filters, PHP, and MySQL, now with nationwide access. Information about Cruise.io membership is available online at Cruise.io.com or by calling 459-6301. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP. You're listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. The geeks this morning are Sean Cleveland and Miles Elam. We have Dee Dee Hubbard on the phone, but we're going to have to say goodbye to her in just a moment to take your calls, which you can do by calling 476-2800 or toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Of course, you can send us email going to geekspeak.org. Dee Dee, I want to thank you very much for participating on GeekSpeak today. Do you have one last question for our guest, Cameron?
I just wanted to just shout out Shuttle's praises because I really love my shuttle box. It's so tiny and I could take it with me. So I wanted to go to a LAN party. It's really easy. And thanks for making great computers. Okay.
We really appreciate it, Dee Dee.
Dee Dee, thanks for the call in. We'll miss you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
We're going to take a call now from Seaside. Bruce, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
great to be here. We are partly Linux people. We've got Linux running on one of our shuttles here, and runs just great. But, of course, you know, we're running Linux. We're just using it as an FTP server and general-purpose Linux box, so we're not doing anything fancy with the graphics. Not like we're not sophisticated people like Macintosh.
Now, when we say we, are you yourself and I, or are you representing a company?
I'm representing a company. I own the business and that work directly with the operating system. There's me and my two sons. One of them's 16, the other's 14.
Go ahead and promote your business. What is it?
No, it's Center Stage Software. We sell accounting. It's for performing arts. But
okay. I've heard of you. Okay, so
very small market.
Why do you have if you've got a Linux server, I'm assuming you've got a web server or something like that running on the Linux server?
That's got two of them.
Two of them. And they're shuttle boxes?
Shuttle is on one of them. The other one is a Walmart box. And
ouch.
You know, we get stuff wherever we can find it. And if it's reliable, that counts a lot.
Now, why a shuttle?
Why shuttle? I ran into it in an article on a Linux journal. They said, hey, shuttles are great. Then I ran into them at a Linux conference at this show that's coming up in about 2 months in San Francisco. And I saw that the computers there at a conference were either Dells or shuttles. And that made an impression on me because conventions are horribly expensive for businesses to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they would be trusting their business and their publicity to a shuttle, that is significant. And
so that's why you went to Walmart. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, this was after, you know.
So
the Walmart computer had a bad motherboard and had to be sent back.
So do you have any questions for Cameron? Officer, our expert on shuttle.
Yeah, the first shuttle we got, hey, I just turned it over to Elliot. Elliot put it together and been working great. Got another one. That one had a bad motherboard. But we talked to the company that sold it to us. They replaced the shuttle. Everything's good. The third one, I talked to one of the people we work with, and I said, hey, these shuttles are great little machines. They're wonderfully quiet. They're small, and they're cute. So he got one. He couldn't reformat the hard drive. It came with XP Home Edition on it, and, of course, nobody wants XP Home. So he was going to reformat it. Couldn't do it. Even removing the master boot record, could not do it. So we've contacted Shuttle Tech Support, never got any response. Finally asked for an RMA, haven't gotten any response. So we're about to do a chargeback on the credit card.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Cameron, save your customer's life here. What do you got for him?
Well, there's quite a few different ways to buy a shuttle. We sell both systems and bare bones. And this your friend's Shuttle XPC, was that a system he bought directly through Shuttle, or was that a system he bought through a reseller, or was it just a bare bones?
It was a system bought through Shuttle that came pre-installed with Windows XP Home. So, of course, we wanted to use it as another server, so what we did, we said, okay, it works under XP Home, seems to work okay. However, we want to put 2000 server on it. And
what
there, we couldn't
is
format.
Happening is we use a technology to restore the hard drive without using a CD. It's a hard disk based recovery system that lies in a hidden partition on the hard disk. And what I'm suspecting is that's interfering with the you trying to reformat it through FDisk or through Windows.
Do you have your radio on in the background?
Yeah, Bruce, can you turn off your radio, please?
Okay.
So, Cameron, how do you get around that? How do you get rid of that extra invisible partition?
We actually have a utility that can remove it. What I will do is I will talk to Shuttle Tech Support and make sure that utility is available. I'm not sure if we're allowed to post it on the website, but certainly we can make it available.
Okay, let's do this.
Reformat their hard drive.
Bruce, go ahead and go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us and fill out a little note about this to the geeks. I will forward your note off to Cameron so Cameron can kind of help you out. One of those wonderful things about radio, you get like personal service to an important person.
And make sure you put your email inside the... So we can contact you.
That's definitely important. Thank you, Bruce, very much for the call.
Oh, I have one other, actually a sentence, and
go ahead.
Is Apple adopting Intel chips. That's good news for Intel. It's better news for Apple. It's absolutely wonderful news for all the Macintosh geeks, because think of it, guys. Where does Apple make their money? Do they make their money from the people who make the chips, or do they make it from the brains and creativity of the people making their software?
That's right. Okay, thank you very much for that input. Thank you, Bruce, for the call from Seaside. If you'd like to be like Bruce and join our conversation, the phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. It doesn't have to be a call about shuttle computers. It can be a call about anything at all. We're here at your disposal. Again, 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877.
So, Cameron, the hot topic today seems to be media centers. And it would seem like your shuttle boxes would be perfect for as a media center.
Do you mean like a personal video recorder type thing?
Something you'd put in your living room that you could record video and play stuff back on, have an internet connection. Where is that now? I mean, if you can give us an idea of where shuttle is moving in that, if they're moving in that direction, and where the market is for a media center.
Well, Media Center is pretty popular for users of Shuttle X PCs, and we expect it's going to get more and more popular. So we're starting to develop specifically for it. For example, the VFD display we're just talking about, and we're talking about APIs for Linux and that type of thing. This display was designed for Media Center. So when you install Media Center with this display, it'll show, you know, my movies. It'll tell you which chapter you're on the DVD.
I'm sorry, when you
show your recording.
When you install Media Center, what's Media Center?
Microsoft Windows Media Center Edition.
Okay.
So it's a version of Windows that has, like you said, PVR, videos, photos, you know, a lot of that media activity. And it has an interface that allows it to be easily used with a TV.
Okay. And so you're building out systems for that. Does it come with that operating system?
We're also developing some new ones. We just introduced a product called the M1000 to the press at Computex a few days ago. And the M1000 is a slimline, kind of a set-top box type of consumer electronics PC. What's really cool about it, it uses the Pentium M processor. So it's really quiet. It's going to be the most silent entertainment PC that you're going to find out there. And that's really important because that PC needs to be on all the time. It needs to be recording TV shows in the middle of the night. So silence is really important. And this thing is way more silent than even an Xbox.
Is this thing comparable to a TiVo, for example?
It is, but it's a lot more powerful than a TiVo. It can do the normal TiVo functionality like time shifting, PVR. But, of course, you can also surf the Internet on it. It has a GeForce 6200 graphics card, so you can play games on it. You can download movies online legally, through a number of online movie download services such as MovieLink or Cinema Now. So you can actually rent a movie for maybe $3 or $4 and just have it download in 5 or 10 minutes. There's a lot of different services available for Media Center Edition.
Great. All right, we're going to go ahead and take another call this time. I don't know where Hal's coming from, but Hal, welcome to Geek Speak.
Hi, I pulled off Highway 17, headed toward the summit.
Thank you for not driving and talking at the same time. What's your question?
I wonder if there's some good software to coordinate the files on my laptop and my desktop. I travel a lot, and when I come home, I want to have my Outlook the same in both and any other files I've changed.
What operating system are you on?
XP Professional.
Okay. So you basically want to make sure that when you're at your desktop or you're at your laptop, they both have the same data on them. They're not like you're lost a file. You're on the road. You thought it was on your desktop. It's on another computer.
Yeah, right? I want to be able to update the things. And I try to keep the same on both, and before I travel, I generally go through a lengthy exercise of copying and replacing whole directories and my PST for Outlook.
Right.
And I'd like to find an easier way to get all this done.
Well, I'm not a big user. I don't have a laptop on a Windows machine. Our expert is Sean on that front. Dee might know a little bit about it as well, but I just want to say that there used to be a thing called Briefcase, which was exactly for this purpose. It was built into the operating system. Sean and Dee, can you give us some feedback on that? Of course, Dee's only via typing at this point. Sean, you got some ideas on how can help himself?
Yeah, there are utilities out there.
You're scratching your head to figure out what it is.
There's one called Vice Versa that lets you synchronize files and folders between laptops and desktops, your server, hard disks, USB keychains, that sort of thing. Really, the best thing to do is do an online search for synchronize and laptop and desktop.
Yeah,
and see what's out there, what the prices are, what options that, you know, features they offer.
I know, it sounds like use here at Shuttle, our graphics designer is called Second Copy, and I'm not sure what company makes it, but if you do a Google search for Second Copy, I'm sure you can find it.
I couldn't understand what that person just said.
Okay, well that's our guest. You guys are on the same phone line, but basically the app that he just mentioned, I didn't exactly hear it either. Can you say that one more time, Cameron?
Second Copy.
Second Copy.
Yep, and it's at secondcopy.com.
And that's a good solution for inside for your graphics designer, do you say, Cameron?
Yeah, our graphics designers use it to synchronize files across multiple PCs.
Okay, so Second Copy might be the solution for you.
I tried something called BNSync, and it just used up all of my CPU trying to create the directories on both computers.
Yeah.
And it would have taken, by my estimate, more than a week where the computer was just busy creating directory. You know, So I'll try that. Give me that again, secondcopy.com?
Secondcopy.com.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, guys.
Good luck on your syncing dilemmas. Of course, when Hal was talking about syncing his files, he mentioned that he had to copy his PST file, which is for an Outlook email client, and that holds all your information. It's kind of your database for your email and your, well, everything Outlook does. It sounds like he's a pretty advanced user, and what I would do in that situation, if I didn't find an app that I really liked right away, I hate those apps that, like, try to duplicate everything. I kind of want them to tell me, you know, I want that to tell them exactly what to do. I write scripts for this purpose. I write little Perl scripts, or I would now write a Ruby script to actually do this. So that's one solution, is you can start coding to do this solution. if you'd like to call us in, the phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. You're listening to GeekSpeak. My name's Lyle Troxell. We have Cameron Rogers on the phone from Shuttle Computer. That's what we're talking about, is the core, but we'll take any conversation, any question you have about technology. We have Sean Cleveland, who's a hardware expert on Windows, and we have Miles Elam, who's a Linux and Mac user and knows a lot about technology. So if you'd like to give us a call about anything that might be troubling you at your technology woes, if you will, phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. The lines are open currently, right now, in fact.
We do have a question from email from Burbib Wong from Los Angeles.
Okay.
What is the foreseeable future of the small form factor? Where is it going to go next?
Good question. Cameron?
Well, I think it's going to go in multiple directions. I mean, you saw some new products like the Mac Mini coming out. So you're going to see a market for low-end, kind of mainstream-type products. And also you're going to see a market for more high-end stuff as well. So Shuttle plans to be in both markets and develop high-end as well as mainstream PCs. But I think eventually all desktops will be what we consider a small form factor today. I mean, I don't think people are going to see a need for giant boxes in the future. I mean, does people really need 7 expansion cards in this day and age? I mean, the level of technology you get on board nowadays is pretty advanced. So there really is not the need for 6 drives, 4 optical drives, 7 expansion slots, as there was maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
People will definitely be transitioning to smaller PCs in the future.
Do you see a transition also from the 3.5-inch hard drive to the 2-inch, you know, what are commonly referred to as laptop hard drives, like we had with 5.25 to 3.5-inch before?
I don't think that'll happen very quickly, because the disparity in performance and size right now between 3.5-inch and 2.5-inch is pretty big. I think the maximum size you can get in a laptop drive is around 100 or 120 gigabytes, whereas, of course, a desktop drive, I think they just passed 500 gigabytes from Seagate. So, of course, the size and performance, there's a major difference right now. But in the future, in the next 5 to 10 years, that difference will decrease. So PCs will get progressively smaller and smaller.
All right. The phone lines are open for calls and questions about technology, 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Cameron, one of the things I like about the Shuttle computers is that you really have the ability to upgrade and change out the system, as I was mentioning. What is the board form factor? Like, what's the board name that you use? The size of that board is a lot smaller than my board. Like, if I wanted to make a new case, I couldn't fit my computer components inside it. So what's the trick there, and who makes them?
Well, at Shuttle, we've been a motherboard company for about 20 years. So we make the motherboards and the chassis. We call it Shuttle Form Factor. And we have about, 20-odd models. So you can choose from virtually any configuration or chipset that you would be able to find in a typical PC. That's kind of the whole point of a Shuttle X PC. It is all the power and features of a typical PC in a small form factor. So we design the boards. We make the boards. We even design all the technologies around the board, such as the cooling technology, power supplies, chassis, accessories like LCDs, keyboard, mice. So we do a lot of work to make sure the whole platform is appealing.
All right. Good. Sean?
Yeah. Any new innovations that you see are happening just in this area? Anything? I mean, where's the computer going to next? You know, is there anything you guys are working on? Anything you're pushing?
I think the traditional avenues of increasing performance are kind of petering out a little bit. You saw a major shift in the industry over the last year towards dual core. So things are getting more and more integrated, so it takes less and less space to do, you know, what you needed to do a few years ago. So now we have small form factor PCs that can support dual processors, you know, through dual core. They can support dual graphics cards. They can support three hard drives. So as technology gets more and more integrated, I think the technology and products that we know and love today will definitely change to be a little more consumer friendly. And what you recognize as a PC today may not necessarily look like a PC in the next few years. And things that you recognize as a cell phone or a PDA will integrate into our daily life so much so that we hardly even recognize that they're there. And all devices will have a lot of computing power. So even toasters and microwave ovens will have more computing power than you'll even see in a cell phone today. So I think the way we think of computing right now will definitely be changing.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Didi has a question. Do you think there'll ever be Macintosh OS 10 on the shuttle box?
We wish. Yeah, but I think Apple's gone on record saying that they will only allow OS 10 on their own hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense because, as Sean was mentioning before, Apple is a hardware company.
Right. From Salinas, we have Dan. Dan, what's your question for GeekSpeak?
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question. I have a Toshiba laptop with Windows XP Home on it. And on the toolbar, there's a small window for entering search terms. And then there's also a little down arrow attached to it that will show you a history of searches that you've conducted. And I'm trying to clear that out, and I can't find out any documentation that gets me directly.
You're talking about in your browser?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which browser?
Windows XP Home.
So it's the Internet Explorer?
Internet Explorer.
Well, one thing you could do is stop using Internet Explorer and go to Firefox. It's kind of a bad suggestion, but, I mean, it's a better browser, I think, so Firefox.
But it's a good suggestion. It's just rather blunt.
Thanks, Miles. All right, does anyone know how to clear the URL helping history?
Yeah, you go to Internet Explorer, go to your Tools menu.
Right. If it's clear history, it clears the history from the main toolbar or for the main URL bar, but that little search bar does not clear out.
You're running an aftermarket toolbar, like a Google toolbar or something like that?
No, this is the regular drop-down toolbar for.
We had this question a long time ago.
I don't remember at all. What's this drop-down tool? What does it look like?
Well, in the upper left-hand corner, if you put all the toolbars that you can through Internet Explorer up, you get a little search window up in the upper left-hand corner.
And what engine does it use to search? Google?
Well, you can specify.
And what do you have it set to?
Well, it's just the default, whatever the default, MSN or whatever.
Right.
And so I'm trying to get to the search history to clear out some sites that have been listed that I would just prefer not to have.
Well, you can do it one at a time by selecting them and hitting the delete key.
It doesn't do that. I've been through every combination of that I've gone through tools, I've gone through everything else.
Okay, if I were you at this point, I'd close up, I'd take an Explorer and do one last thing with it. Go to Mozilla.org and get Firefox. Seriously,
okay.
I mean, it will copy all your bookmarks over. Firefox has a default search parameter just like that will allow you to choose different search tools. It's great. Its history will get erased when you erase
it. Okay, here's what you do.
But here's Sean's answer.
Go back to Internet Options, Tools menu, Internet Options.
Right.
You want to go to the Content tab, and then you'll see Personal Information.
Right. Click been there, done that.
You click the Autocomplete button, and you did that.
Right.
Really.
Been there, done that. Does not go away.
You got a goofy thing going on. I'm sorry, we can't help you out.
Well, then I need a new browser. Also, before I go, I'm an electronic musician.
Uh-huh.
I'm a professional musician and teacher, and in fact, I'm on my way to a gig right now. And your previous commenter was talking about the advent of technologies and using them in everyday life. I've gone from using pre-recorded tapes to using my iPod. Now, for background, I'm a music minus one kind of guy.
How are you getting stereo in your iPod?
Well, it's stereo output. It's a stereo output jack, so I just...
For playing. I thought you meant for recording. Uh-huh.
Oh, no, I don't record to it. I do all my recording on the laptop and generate... I use MIDI files quite a bit, and then I would burn them to CD and then transfer them to iPod.
Uh-huh.
Where I used to have a ton of equipment, I just take my amp and my guitar and my iPod.
A lot easier. All right, cool.
Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. Thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to now go off to, let's see, line two is John from Santa Cruz. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. We don't have much time left on the show, so what's your question?
I was wondering what you thought about the possibility of Moore's Law dying out, in part because there's less chip manufacturer competition, what with Apple moving to Intel base. It seems like in the last 2 years, I haven't seen the computer speeds double, which is something we've been getting used to in this industry.
Moore's Law actually isn't about the speed doubling. It's the number of transistors doubling.
I recognize that, but it has off in the past correlated with that.
It does normally.
Yeah, but you know what? As they're adding new processor core, these dual-core chips, they're actually keeping up with Moore's Law.
Yeah, they are doing it. They're doing it. They're keeping that transistor doubling every 18 months thing. You might not be seeing computers speeds increasing, but that's because they're not tracking the performance of a processor by speed anymore. They're tracking the performance of this processor by like how much it can do, if you will. So for example, that's why AMD, even in their commercial line products, decided to stop talking about the processor speed and start talking about a number that happened to correspond to a perceived speed of a Pentium.
Actually, they have an Athlon XP.
Athlon XP.
They don't say that.
But in any case, what's happening now? You see, there's actually two cores of the processor on the same chip. Which, if you look at Moore's Law, flexible, you would say that therefore it's double the size right there. And if you did that once in every 18 months, you'd be set. So I think that's part of the solution. It really comes down to the speed increase. There's problematic with heat, but you can do other tricks. So does that answer your question? Yeah,
pretty much.
All right. John,
the dual core is really going to address heat. And that's got to help shuttle a lot, too, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're very excited.
Okay, Cameron, we got a few more minutes on GeekSpeak. Why don't you go ahead and talk about the most exciting thing coming out of Shuttle, like right now, what people can get that's exciting.
We have quite a few things. We just launched a couple of new AMD-based models. The hot setup and enthusiasts right now are our AMD 9310 processors, as Sean knows very well, especially.
Yeah.
We have a couple of really nice 9310 platforms. We had the first PCI Express platform in a small form factor for AMD, and that one is based on Enforce 4. That one's called the Shuttle XPC SN25P. We have another cool one based on ATI's new chipset that has an ATI Radeon on board that supports AMD processors, and that one's called the Shuttle XPC ST20G5. But we're always doing something new. We have over 20 models of XPC right now, and we're going to introduce another 7 to 12 this year. I know one thing, one model that people wanted me to briefly discuss on some of the communities that we've participated online was a Pentium M-based unit. And this one's called the SD11G5, and this one's going to be completely silent with the Pentium M processor. It's got a Creative Sound Blaster Live 24 on board, so the audio quality is really going to be pretty killer on this product.
So you got to remember when you're getting a Shuttle system, you got to look at the components because, I mean, buying an extra sound card can cost you a couple $100. So it's important to know that stuff's on board.
Yeah, it's not so much the cost, it's the size. So, I mean, yeah. Because we only have a couple expansion slots, people really expect us to have killer onboard technology. So, for example, the SM25P I was just talking about, it has the cleanest onboard audio solution ever. It has an audio codec from the UK that delivers 106 dB signal-to-noise ratio, which is more than any onboard audio has ever delivered.
Yeah, that's like professional line stuff.
Yeah,
this program is supported by Union Bank of California, servicing Central Coast customers with over 11 locations. More information on consumer and business services available at uboc.com, Union Bank of California. We're saying goodbye now to Cameron Rogers, Director of Marketing for Shuttle Computer. Cameron, thank you very much for being on GeekSpeak today.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
The Geeks this morning were Sean Cleveland, Miles Elam, and a bit of Dee Dee Hubbard from New York. Our producer is Maggie Cleveland. Thank you all for participating in GeekSpeak today.
Thank you, Lau. It's great to be here. Thank you.
And there's Dee Dee typing in the background. I don't know if you heard that. To all of you that called in to make GeekSpeak what it is, thank you very much. Without you, it'd just be us geeking out. And who really wants to listen to that?
Drew.
GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. Next week on GeekSpeak, Sean?
What are we talking? I think it's DSL and cable. So
that's
if
right.
All of you have questions about which to install and why, listen in.
We haven't gotten a confirmation from Mark Hanford from Cruzeo, but his boss has suggested, Mark and Chris Nichols, who actually one of the owners of Cruzeo local, started GeekSpeak years ago, 7 years ago.
Oh, that'd be great to have.
And we're going to have Mark on, I believe, to talk about, you know, how do you really make this wonderful high-speed internet access that all of us geeks have now available in your home? We got a call a couple weeks ago from someone who was like, I'm paying for it, and I don't even know how to make it work. That's next week on Geek Speak at 10 on Fridays. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. Coming up next is Open Road with, well, I'm not sure who, but coming up next right after some NPR news.
NPR News in Washington. I'm Lakshmi Singh. At a White House meeting this afternoon, President Bush and South Korean leader Noh Moo-hyun called on North Korea to return to six-nation talks aimed at ending the North's nuclear weapons program. NPR's Don Gagne reports.
The U.S. and South Korea have had some differences on how to approach North Korea. President Roh, for example, has wanted more active engagement with the North. The U.S. favors a harder line. In the Oval Office today, Roh acknowledged those differences, but said they can be worked out. President Bush, meanwhile, stressed that there is unity on the overall goal.
To saying to Mr. Kim Jong-il that he ought to give up his weapons.